Friday night, as you were in your pajamas and you're getting ready for bed, at 9:30, the youth group was just getting started. We had our lock-in. Alan hosted the lock-in for the youth group, and so I was a chaperone, and some unlucky others were chaperones with me. No, it's a great. And so, for those who don't know what a lock-in is, surely you know what a lock-in is, but in case there's that one person who's like, what is a lock-in? It's not prison. It is, we all come up here, Alan, well, no, you come up here and your youth minister has decided that he will spend the entire night watching the kids as they stay up all night together, although many of you fell asleep. But you stay up all night together, play games, have fun, and I'm telling you, memories are made at a lock-in. It's really interesting to see what happens at a lock-in. Because at the beginning of the night, and youth ministries who have done this for a long time, you learn to put the more complicated games at the beginning of the night. Because at the beginning of the night, you know, we're there, we're with you. But as the night goes on, it's really funny to see what happens as the energy's high. We're all excited. Woo, we're going to stay up all night. It's going to be great. And at 2 o'clock rolls around and things start to slow down. It gets a little quieter, but they're still, you know, they're active. When 3:30 hits, they turn into a bunch of zombies. And it's really funny. Now, what's awesome is, you know, teenagers, and not just teenagers, this is myself, but, you know, often you tell them to do something, and sometimes it can be, you know, a sarcastic answer, although they usually do what you say. They're going to throw out something, you know, funny or challenge you a little bit. But at 3:30, you can just tell them whatever you want, and they'll do it. It just has to be simple for them to understand. And so Alan said his favorite part, I'm throwing you on the spot, I didn't ask him if I could talk about all this, but anyway, said his favorite part is turn on the lights after the ones who have gone to sleep at about 5 in the morning, you know, and saying, all right, it's time to clean up and all the zombies awake, and they'll do whatever you say. Hey, okay, we're going to move all these chairs. Okay, you know. So it was a lot of fun. Had a blast. There are memories made after midnight on a lock-in night that you'll never forget. Turn to Acts chapter 16. We're going to talk about another after midnight kind of a story. I've got 3 points for you this morning, and they're very simple. It's before midnight, at midnight, and after midnight. And so we're going to look at a story, and we're going to talk about this, and I think it's appropriate as we've had the lock-in to talk about what happens before midnight, at midnight, and after midnight. As I'm relating this message, I'm going to tell you kind of what my goal is here. My goal is for you to, as we look to the new year, to think about our before midnight moment from this text would be 2019 for us. It would be the year that we've just left as we've entered into this new year. So our before midnight for my application is going to be our 2019 year. At midnight is the beginning of the 2020, and after midnight is obviously the rest of this year. So I want you kind of thinking in that direction as we read this text together. So we're going to start, and we're just going to start in verse 16. Of Acts chapter 16. I love this passage. It is one of the many conversion stories in the book of Acts, and it's a great story. It's one you've probably read many times, but we're going to read it together here. Start in verse 16. It says, once we were going to a place of prayer, and we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. And she earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. And this girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. And she kept this up for many days. And finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned around and he said to the Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. And at that moment, the Spirit left her. And when the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money, I love how, look at the emphasis there, their hope of making money, and money can lead us astray. And so They realized that their hope of making money was gone. They seized Paul and Silas and they dragged them into the marketplace to face authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and they are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful to us Romans to accept or practice." And so the crowd joined in and attacked Paul and Silas. And the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. And after they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. Before midnight, as this begins for Paul and Silas, and they're on this journey, where were they trying to go? Look at your text. Look at the beginning. Where are they? What was their goal? What was their destination, Paul and Silas? I'm going to pray. It was a place of prayer. And I began to think about, you know, a lot of us, man, I can relate with this, because there's times in my life where I'm trying to do what God wants me to do. I'm trying to be who God wants me to be. You're here this morning because you and I share that in common. Our faith is propelling us to something different, to be someone who follows Christ. And so these people are trying, Paul and Silas are on their way to do what God wants them to do. And while on their way, they encounter this situation, and then they call out this demon, cast out a demon in the name of Jesus. And where does all of that great intentions, and where are they? And they find themselves in prison. And I thought, you know what, that's a lot of us. That's a lot of you. And I know some of you looking out right now, and I think about some of the stories that we've talked about, some of the places that you are, and there's a lot of you, I don't know where you are, but I can imagine, because I know how life is. Jesus told us, right, he gave us spoilers. Hey, in this world, you're going to have trouble. You'll have tribulation. And then he gives us the hope that take courage because I've overcome the world. And that gets us through those moments. But it's still no shocker that you and I have faced moments where we're trying to do what God wants us to do. And yet it feels like every step I take forward, there's three steps back. And sometimes that's based on our own fault. Sometimes it is because I'm heading to the house of the Lord. 2019 may have been a year for you where you were attempting to do what God wanted you to do. You had every intention to follow Jesus, as our theme was, to follow Jesus closer than ever before. And yet it felt like every time you tried to take a step forward, maybe some sin in your life or distraction in your life would come in the way and would lead you away from where you wanted to be. But sometimes, maybe 2019 was a year for you where it's the same intention. God, I want to follow you closer than I ever have before, but based on no fault of my own, I have found myself in a situation that has caused me pain and suffering, and they were flogged and beaten for something not of their own. And their before midnight moment for them has found them in prison for trying to follow Christ. And man, can't we relate with that? We don't want to, but we do. We all have those before midnight kind of years, moments in our life. And if you're there, if 2019 for you was a year of I'm trying to be all that Christ wants me to be, and yet there was so much trouble and so much pain and there was hurt and heartbreak. Maybe it was your fault. Maybe it wasn't, wherever. But you can relate and say, I felt like 2019 was a year where I was shackled and I was chained. Maybe you were shackled and chained to the sins and addictions in your life. Or maybe it was to the memories of the past that you can't move from. Maybe there were many sleepless nights. There were moments of high stress. Maybe there were health problems or relationship problems. But whatever it was for you, if that's where you are, then this message is for you. Because the story doesn't stop at what happened before midnight. Let's keep reading our text and let's see how this unfolds. Verse 25. We'll start in verse 24 to keep the context for us. Upon receiving such orders, the guard put them in the inner cell and he fastened their feet in stocks. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. They have, I love this. I could preach the whole sermon on this verse, but this is not the verse I'm going to preach on. But if you can't preach a sermon on this section of scripture, then you just need to find a new profession. Because it preaches itself. I mean, Paul and Silas, they're in their prison moment, and they're singing hymns, and they're praising God in the midst of the most difficult part of their journey. And they're singing and praising hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly, there's this violent earthquake, and the foundations of the prison were shaken, and all at once, the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. And the jailer woke up. And when he saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. So you've got this scene where they're trapped and their before midnight experience has led them, even though they have the best intentions and the best heart, has found themselves hurt and broken and strapped and chained. And then the at midnight moment happens. And at midnight, God shows up. And so the encouragement for you is just this. Your at midnight moment is coming. Your blessing is coming. The miracle is coming. Jesus has provided a way out from every sin and every temptation so that you can stand under. He's given you a way. Your deliverance will come. Your miracle moment will come. And no matter how, I mean, they're trapped in the inner cell. I've taught a sermon on the inner cell before and the difficulty that faced, but I can't go there now. But the inner cell and the shackles and the chains and how they're completely and totally bound. And yet they have every bit of faith. What I love is you see the faith that they have to say, no, God's still showing up. We know he's going to come. And they're singing praises and they're praising the Lord and they have joy in their life because even in the midst of the darkest moment, I know that God is better. I love this passage, but what I wanted to focus on this morning was what happens after midnight. And it's not something I've ever preached on before. I've always preached those parts because that's, I mean, we're all there. We relate with that and we want out of our situations. How many of you have been stuck before in your life and you're like, your prayer to God was, God, get me out. Help me. Deliver me. And when you read through the Psalms, you see that that's a prayer that was prayed by so many faithful people over so many generations. That's a great prayer to pray. But I want to show you something else that what happens after midnight. I love this scene. This is, I don't know if it's just the guy in me, but I like the action, you know? And so this is that prison break scene. You know, you've seen some of the prison break movies. You've got the Escape from, tell me the... Alcatraz. Yeah. I love that movie. I always want to say Escape from Azkaban, so Harry Potter fans are with me. I like that one too, you know, fighting off the Dementors or digging my way out. Count of Monte Cristo. They have that prison escape scene, you know, and I'm digging my way out. And I love that. And the earthquake comes and the ground shakes and the prison doors break open and yeah, this is about to be a great story. But this after midnight moment is just, let me warn you, kind of anticlimactic. And I don't know if Paul's, what's going on, man? Like, go out there and you know, let's put the bow on the movie here, you know? And it just doesn't happen this way. Watch what happens. At this point, you've got the earthquake. It's all coming together. Yes, here we go, Paul. And let's read. Let's not read. Let me tell you this. How many of you in school had that one person in your class who was like, you know, you've gone all class period long and there's hope today because the teacher hasn't asked for your homework yet. And you're like, there's 5 minutes left in class. I'm going to escape this. And then you have that one student who raises their hand and they go, Hey, Mrs. Smith, you didn't take up the homework and I did it. What are you doing? Stop it. What? She didn't take up the homework and I did it. It drove me crazy. I didn't like it, you know, because I was usually the one who didn't do my homework. Students, do your homework. It pays. And so you've got that just that, and I'm sorry, it was just so annoying. If you were the kid that raised your hand, come on. help the rest of us out. We're a team, you know? Anyway, obviously that drove me crazy. I don't know if you, anybody there with me? Help me out here. Okay, few of you. I'm preaching to you then. And so, can I just say, that's kind of Paul in this moment. I know that's weird to say, but listen to how this text plays out. Here we go. We're gonna break out of here, Paul. We got this. And listen to, let's get our context again. Start in verse 25. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying. They're singing their hymns to God, and these other prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And all at once, the prison doors flew open, and everybody's chains came loose. And the jailer woke up, and he saw that the prison doors were open. So he draws his sword. He's about to kill himself because he looks at it and goes, oh no, this is not good. And so then Paul shouted, don't harm yourself.
Mrs. Smith.
You know, I wonder what Silas was thinking, you know, like he's the doors are open. He's like, yes. And he starts to run out. And then Paul's still standing there. He's like, Paul, come on. And Paul's like, hey, wait, don't hurt yourself. We're all still here. Paul, come on. This is the time to put the action in the movie. This isn't the time to, Mrs. Smith. And yet that's where we are. Let's read the rest of the story and then I'll tell you what hit me about this after midnight moment. So verse 29, the jailer called for lights and rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas and then brought them out and he asked them, sirs, what must I do to be saved? So he had been listening as they were in their prison moment. Others were noticing and listening. Verse 31, then they replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all the others in the house. And at the hour of the night, the jailer took them and he washed their wounds. You see this repentance in a physical way. Repentance is a spiritual thing, but it does show itself in action. And you see that repentance as the jailer is now washing the wounds from the beatings that Paul and Silas had. And then immediately he and his family were baptized and the jailer brought them into the house and set a meal before them and he was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. The story goes on and you can read the rest on your own time. I love this image. I love this story. But that moment, after midnight moment for Paul, it's like, Paul, what are you doing? And then it hit me. And I realized Paul's intention was not to get out of his prison moment, but was to get the gospel in. You see that? The gates fly open, but it's not for Paul to escape. Paul's mentality is now God can come in. There were barriers that weren't key. And listen, I'm with you. And so are so many people of faith. When you're in your prison moment, in 2019 may have been that moment before. You're before midnight moment. And it feels like everything's crumbling and you're in pain and you're in misery and you're in a place that you don't want to be. But you had the best intentions, but now I'm here and I'm in chains and I'm shackled and my life feels out of control. And in that moment, your prayer has been, God, deliver me. I'm with you. And I'm not asking you to stop praying that prayer. But that is not the prayer that Paul was praying. And the reason I know that is because the doors are open and he stays in the cell. He stayed in the same place of his captivity. Because he wasn't saying, get me out of here. He was saying, God, come here. Show off, God. Use my prison moment to change lives. And man, the faith of Paul in this story sends chills up my spine and really convicts me to say, you know what? I want to have that kind of faith too. I don't know where you're at as you're entering this new year, but after midnight is where the memories are made on a lock-in. Let me tell you that, okay? After midnight, that's when the crazy fun things start to happen and memories are made with those kids. I mean, they did things that you know, they'll remember forever. And some of you are going, what'd they do? What happens at a lock-in stays at a lock-in. But the after midnight moment is where memories are made. Listen, I truly believe the same is true for us in our prison moments as well. It's the after midnight. It's not about your prison moment. It's about what God's going to do afterwards. And if you have the faith to say, I'm not looking to get out, I'm looking to get God here. I'm looking to bring him into my situation. God, I'm not asking you to deliver me from the pain I'm feeling. I'm just asking you to use my pain for your purpose and your glory. That's a whole nother level of faith that Paul ascends in this text. And because of it, the jailer and his entire family are saved based on that story. And Paul and Silas, they do get to walk away from this. But what I love is that Paul and Silas still could have had the opportunity to leave. But as you continue to read this text on your own later, because you're going to, as you read it, you see they still said, no, we're going to stay, and these people are going to come get us, and they're going to escort us out. Because look, we're not trying to flee. Our destination wasn't to get out. It was to get God in. What an awesome mentality. What an example of faith. That's easy to preach, I understand, much harder to live. But when we can reach that level of faith, lives are changed. And that's what happened to that Philippian jailer and his family as well. God, thank you so much for loving us and using us. And God, I pray that 2019 was a great year for all of us. But God, there are so many of us in here who are thinking, man, I'm just glad that this year's done. And I pray that 2020 will be different. God, there's people who are still in their prison moment, who are shackled and chained. God, I just pray right now that our prayer will shift today. That yes, God, help us escape those moments if we can. But more importantly, God, come into our prison moments. Meet us at midnight. And help us to stay in our prison moment after midnight so that you can get glory and others can be saved and lives can be changed. God, use us in whatever way that takes. We know that that's not easy. We understand the pain that comes with that process. And yet, God, because of who you are and the hope that you give, we choose to be faithful. And if you choose to use our prison moment for your glory, then please, God, please come. Rip the gates open, but not for us to escape, but for you to come in and meet us there. We love you, and we thank you most of all for Jesus. And it's in his name I pray, the church said. If there's anything you need, won't you come? While together we stand and sing.